Welcome back to Here and Now. Tomatoes pile up in a greenhouse in the heart of Boston's inner city. Designer lettuce grows in containers next to Atlanta's airport. Heirloom eggplants are in front yards in Denver. Urban gardens are sprouting up in almost every city. And unlike traditional community gardens, this new wave of urban gardening could become a source of economic development, with savvy entrepreneurs and even big businesses trying to meet the public's appetite for locally grown produce. Jennifer Oldham wrote about the boom in urban gardening for Bloomberg News. She joins us from Colorado Public Radio in Denver. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And I should say, I mentioned the greenhouse here in Boston that grows tomatoes. This is a nonprofit, the Food Project, and what they do is they have inner city kids who pick these tomatoes and then sell them to chefs in the city. But you're talking about businesses moving in. Give us some examples.
Well, we have all sorts of things, really from the grassroots, if you will, up to commercial enterprise. For example, in Denver, we have people who are running small businesses who farm their neighbors' backyards and front yards and then take the food and sell it at local farmers markets. But you also have commercial enterprises like Podponics in Atlanta, which are using these abandoned shipping containers to grow lettuce under the flight path at Atlanta's Hartsfield International Airport. And they're planning on obviously selling that lettuce for profit, including to some of the country's largest producers.
And why is this happening? Why are people eyeing the inner city?
It's interesting. What you've seen is a duality here over the last few years. Of course, there's been the recession and people are looking to save money, so they'd like to grow their own food or get it at a farmer's market, as well as you also have a return to people wanting to know where their food comes from, fueled in part by books like The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan, which talks about kind of the evils of industrial food production, as well as documentaries like Food Inc., which people have watched and said, oh my goodness, should I be consuming these subsidized commodities like corn and that sort of thing when I can grow tomatoes in my front yard?
Speaking of books, you mentioned that people in Denver there are turning over their yards to a gardener. This is Sundari Kraft, and she's the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Urban Homesteading. But just a couple questions, because we've reported on this before. There's been pushback in other neighborhoods. There was a story in Michigan about a woman who had to fight the city to turn her front yard over to sort of a natural garden. Neighbors objected on an aesthetic basis, but then people also have questions about gardening in the city when it comes to the stuff that splashes up from the road, you know, sand and salt in the east, chemicals in the wintertime in parts of the country, exhaust from cars. Have you come across those questions of safety?
I did. And, you know, a lot of the response I got to my story, I got some emails from folks saying, oh, my goodness, they're going to grow lettuce under a flight path. That seems like a horrible idea. But when, in fact, this lettuce will be grown in shipping containers, so it will be shielded from emissions from aircraft. And also you have the Podponics folks telling me this is, in fact, a safer way of growing produce because we can control the types of chemicals and fertilizers we put on the plants because they are in this enclosed environment. In terms of the open gardens in the cities, the folks I talked to, including Sundari Kraft, pointed out to me that they have more of a control here than you would in a commercial enterprise where they are just going out and spraying over wide areas with no thought of trying to limit the amount of fertilizer or chemicals they're using.
You know, we understand that there can be problems, maybe not with the neighbors, but with city policy. They got ahead of the policy in Detroit.
Right. There are some public policy concerns, particularly in Detroit. There was a state law there that limits commercial agricultural use in cities. And so what Hans Farms, which is trying to start what they term as the largest urban farm in the country, they ran up against these state policies that wouldn't allow them to farm large amounts of land in the city. So they've had to negotiate those policies locally. And from what I understand from them, it's been a very complicated legal issue that's evolved into a months-long negotiation that they didn't anticipate.
Well, but the trend is in the direction of more urban farming. The government says there's almost a 50% increase in the number of farmers markets across the country. And this runs against what the bulk of the country's farming land is used for, because I'm always astonished when I see this, but only 2% of the farms in the U.S. are used to grow fruits and vegetables. That's amazing.
And I think that's one thing that the USDA is starting to notice. When they took a look at these figures, they're saying, oh, wow, most of our farmers are in their late 50s and 60s, and these are farmers that are growing these large crops, the wheat, the corn, the soybeans, and we really need to take a look at what we can do to grow produce that's more sustainable. And so a natural outcome of that is to look at the popularity of the farmers markets and say, wow, we have all this vacant land in these cities. What if we built on the success of these community gardening programs and tried to turn them into commercial enterprises where people could make money and then also produce more fruits and vegetables?
And of course, you quote people who point out that if this urban farming was subsidized the way the other 98% of farming in the U.S. was subsidized, it would grow even faster.
Right. There is an advocacy group in Washington, D.C., the Union of Concerned Scientists, and they just released a report in early August that talked about this, that if the USDA did put some of those subsidies that they put towards, and this is just billions of dollars, these commercial crops, towards this urban farming, it would really help this movement grow much more quickly and become more profitable than it is right now.
Where do you see this going, though?
The interesting thing that I found in my reporting is that people are just starting to awaken to the fact that this is a sustainable thing that's not going away. It's not a fad. It's not something that will be gone in a few months. It really is something that people have an interest in promoting. And so what you see is urban planners in New York and in Colorado going out and surveying how many people have these community gardens and taking a look at if they're creating jobs and what sort of things do they need to make them more sustainable and make them profitable in terms of more education programs or more grants or more assistance in terms of funding. And I think these groups in New York and Colorado are telling me that they're going to have reports available this fall that they really hope to use as tools to go out to foundations and say, hey, can you give us more money that we could use to go out to these groups and say, why don't you hire a few more people or why don't you try to obtain another vacant lot and turn it into a garden?
Jennifer Oldham of Bloomberg News on the boom in urban gardening. Jennifer, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.